Mark lesson 3, chapter 1, verse 21 to chapter 2, verse 12. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 22, about the Jewish synagogue. Most Jewish meetings took place in someone's home, but if there were more than 10 Jews in the area, they had to meet in a certain place. And if there were more Jews, they built a synagogue. The synagogue was where people went to learn about God's law, and the people in charge of it were called synagogue ruler. The synagogue didn't have a regular base preacher, but the ruler of the synagogue would invite different people to preach and teach every week. The Jewish scribes were asked to teach and explain the Bible very often, since that was part of their job. The Mosaic Law is the message that the scribes preach from the pulpit every week. There are a lot of rules and laws. All 613 laws are called commandments. What to do and what not to do, just like reading a legal dictionary when the scribes were preaching. Part of the congregation who could keep the law felt good about themselves. The more they heard it, the prouder they get. Those who couldn't keep the Torah, the more they listen, the more condemnation they will feel. As they couldn't do it anyway, so they will just give up. There were Pharisees who looked good on the outside but had hardened their hearts within. Or sinners who didn't follow the Torah perfectly, they weren't accepted by the local society. There are the Jews who come together to form the congregation in a synagogue. On that Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum, which was close to his hometown Nazareth, and started to preach. When he preached, the whole crowd was so touched because Jesus' teaching was different from that of the other scribes. He taught with authority, which cut through people's hearts like a sword. He talked about the will of the Father, the mysteries are hidden in history. He explained what the prophets in the Old Testament meant when they said that God came down to earth. He decried how the heaven is like, how to be truly blessed, who God's favorite people are, what's the devil's trick, what kind of reward disciples will obtain, when the tribulation will happen, and what would be done to get fully prepared for his return. These are the message from heaven which Jews have never heard before. The people were shocked. At that precise point, part of the Jews received his teaching and their hearts were caught on fire. Jesus didn't just preach these messages in Capernaum's synagogue, but he preached them everywhere. The message cuts the crowd's heart with authority. Their hearts were on fire to the point where many of those who heard Jesus wanted to follow him wherever he went to be his disciples. However, there was a different group of people who aren't happy about it. They became agitated, wanted to push the Lord off the cliff, and some even wanted to kill him. Now you can see why the Lord once told his disciples that he did not belong to the world because the world despised him. For God's word is like a mirror, reflecting everyone's thoughts and revealing their end. Chapter 1, verse 23 to 45, chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Jesus not only preached with authority, but he also had the power to cast out demons and heal the sick. The feverish, lepers, paralyzed, and other patients were among those healed in these verses. The healing of the paralytic and how the patient and those carrying him had such faith in Jesus that the roof was torn off the house and the paralyzed man was placed before Jesus from the roof. It was one of the most famous events. Concerning the faith of the paralytic, I have taught us before, so let's focus on something else today, the healing of the leper. The earliest recording of leprosy appeared after God anointed Moses as the leader of Israel. Since Moses lacked the faith to negotiate with Pharaoh, so God infected Pharaoh's hand with leprosy and then performed the miracle of instantaneous healing to strengthen Moses' faith. As an unclean, contagious disease, leprosy was later considered a symbol of God's judgment by Jews. Disease, as Pastor Daniel has stated many times, is not from God, but is an act of the devil. Disease and corruption resulted from Adam's fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, the entire world was cursed, bringing with all manner of wretchedness, hideousness, and madness. However, on the other hand, the world retains some of its original splendor, but it is tainted by much evil. People yearn for love, but they can also show hatred for each other and hurt each other when they are in a relationship. Even a vicious tiger will not eat its cub, but we have seen many cases of child abuse and even the need for the social welfare department of children to intervene. Ever since the dawn of time, mankind has been on the seeking on a search for a way to live forever. So as fantasy barrier system was developed to allow kings to continue living as emperors even after they died. See how desperate humans are in their search for a way to live forever. People are hungry for more, so they are full of exploitation. 80% of the world's wealth is in the hands of 20% of the people. Some have a lot, yet they are still hungry, covetous. Otherwise, they would not be celebrity and rich businessmen jumping from building because of their spiritual poverty and dryness. Human nature, selfishness, and self-interest cause humans to disregard justice, so much so that the leakage of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant tragedy resulted from those in power in the former Soviet Union's disregard for civilian safety. As a result, the secondary nuclear radiation calamity surpassed the Hiroshima atomic bomb in history. People yearn for peace, but the world is plagued by war. Russian slaughtered unarmed civilians in Ukraine, in Bucha, and on April 7, the United Nations had to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council in an emergency session. We seek health, yet we are plagued by disease, first one round after another, by the COVID mutation strain has brought about to the world. These are the result of the curse of sin, based on Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, and the devil's trick, John 10:10, which have sickened the globe and brought enormous pain to humanity. The planet is sick and in desperate need of a savior. The world is weeping in the same way that the Israelites had mourned during the Egyptian persecution. So Jesus came into the world with the task of healing the world, bringing redemption, appeasing God's wrath, and redeeming the world justly and righteously from the power of the devil. 1 Timothy 2:6. This savior's death is the culmination of salvation. Before Jesus died, he needed to explain fully the gospel. Thus, his first task was to preach, followed by signs and wonders, to prove his message. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Leprosy is a horrifying disease. The carrier infected through contact and droplets can produce granulomas of the neurological system, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. It begins with a lack of pain and sensation, then the body becomes infested with sores, parts of which are gradually degraded by bacteria. If you leave a piece of meat outside in the summer for a few days, it will sting, get insect infected, and eventually decompose. This is how leprosy developed. Their nose and eyes rotted away, and then their fingers and toes were repeatedly wounded and rotted away. In the event it needs amputation, eventually it will need amputation. It was a time when no one dared to get into contact with lepers. They were quarantined at the early stage, and in more recent times it happened that various of nationalities have left them to perish in the wilderness, and even being burned lepers alive and buried them alive. Leprosy is a dreadful contagious disease that everyone avoids. But moved by compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched them. Jesus healed the sick through various ways. According to the Bible, he either spat on a blind man's eye, said a word, and the sick were healed, when his clothing was touched by the sick and they were healed. So when treating lepers, Jesus could have used either way to prevent infection, because God didn't really have to touch them. He, however, did not. He made contact with them intentionally. He was sympathetic. He determined to love them by touching them. What a loving and gracious God. God is love. How does an invisible God love people after becoming flesh? When a sinful woman washed Jesus' feet, Jesus did not judge her but accepted her. When the leper approached him, Jesus did not stay back. He touched him and accepted him. Jesus does not abandon those who are sinful, unclean, dirty, or at the bottom of the society. Rather than that, Jesus touched them. This kind of love cures not just the body, but also the soul, the emotions. Not only give them healing, but also eternity. So rather than saying to the paralytic, "You are healed," Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," implying the living God has welcomed him as a member of God's family because of his faith, as they believe Jesus was God's incarnation. In 2012, I went to Australia as part of a church culture exchange and met a minister there. She told me a story. This minister oversees speakers ministry in Australian churches. Many speakers from all over the world came to Australia, and she mobilizes them to preach at different churches there. Once she met a well-known female prophet from Hong Kong. I better not mention her name here. It was said that this prophet prophesies and conduct miracles and wonders, that she was acknowledged as a very gifted person. When the prophet and her family came in, the host noticed something strange. This is so-called gifted prophet wouldn't let anyone touch her, not even her son and daughter-in-law, because it would make her dirty and mess with connection between her spirit and God's spirit. I won't give too much comment on this, but certainly that's not how Jesus ministered. Jesus cleansed everything that was unclean, and he washed his disciples' feet, which was regarded the most unclean in Jewish culture. Jesus touched those who had fever, healed the lepers, and commanded the demons to leave the possessed ones. So he gives the Spirit without measure, John 3:34. The Holy One can cleanse the unclean, and the unclean cannot pollute the Holy One. Germs are killed by fire, and germs cannot pollute fire. Knowing the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in a synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. So set at liberty those who are oppressed." It's more blessed to give than to receive. This is the spiritual law. The heavenly laws are applicable on all levels of life, not simply in the realm of wealth. Today, God is still looking for a group of believers who are willing to change and become more like Christ. They are willing to lay down their lives, willing to walk with God, willing to think about what God wants, willing to be humble, and willing to be God's conduit, to help the weak, to preach about God's kingdom, to give to the poor what they need, and to lay hands on the sick. There are still miracles and signs and wonders happening today. God's power is still with us. The question is whether you, the vessel, are willing to serve the Lord to the point where you deny yourself and lay down your rights. Is there anything God won't empower you to do when you put Christ at the center of your life? Brothers and sisters, let us be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the Master's house, ready for every good work. If you are an excellent person on earth, you should strive for even better in God's kingdom. If you're happy about your ordinary life in the world, what keeps you from becoming an honorable vessel in God's family? The Father is fair and just. He cares more about your heart than appearance. The power he gave Jesus is unlimited. He can also empower you if you are ready to glorify him. You may still be concerned about those genuine burdens and have numerous obstacles to overcome. When the widow of Zarephath was just about to starve to death, God required her to get up and provide for Elijah, the prophet's need. When Jesus' disciples' hearts were troubled by their country's issue or their future ambition, God instructed them to get up and go first to preach the gospel and to witness to the ends of the earth. What are these things above called? We call this faith. When you have faith, you don't have to wait for problems to be solved before you get up. Get up and do God's work. Luke 12:31. Instead, seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Just like your Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. May God bless you as his powerful servants to heal, to cast out demons, and to share the gospel. Amen.